Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The first part of our epistle today, James 2, verses 1 through 10, says, "My brothers, do not hold the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with partiality. For if there should come into your assembly a man with gold rings and fine apparel, then there should also come in a poor man in filthy clothes, and you pay attention to the one wearing the fine clothes and say to him, 'You sit here in a good place,' and say to the poor man, 'You stand there,' or 'Sit here at my footstool.' Have you not shown partiality among yourselves? Listen, my beloved brethren, God has not chosen the poor of this world to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom, which he promised to those who love him. But you have dishonored the poor man. Do they not blaspheme that noble name by which you are called? If you really fulfill the royal law according to the scriptures, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. You do well, but if you show partiality, you commit sin and are convicted by the law as transgressors. For whoever shall keep the whole law and yet stumble in one point, he is guilty of all. To think others inferior is to violate the royal law of love. For if you look down on someone in your heart, then you are not loving them as yourself." In Mike Yankorski's book, Under the Overpass, he recounts how he and a fellow Christian journeyed as homeless men for 5 months. Mike wanted to know if he could actually be the Christian he said he was a part of the comforts he's always known. They were in Denver, Washington, D.C., Portland, San Francisco, Phoenix, and San Diego. If they, of course, stayed in homeless shelters and on the streets, when they visited the churches in the various cities, they almost always shunned or was asked to leave. One Saturday night, they slept in front of the church's main door in Phoenix, hoping that some kind of hearted churchgoer would ask if they could offer help in some way. In the morning, they could hear the pastor preaching on Romans 8:28. All the parishioners had slipped in through the side doors. The pastor ended with a prayer: "Lord, teach us to look not unto ourselves, but unto you and to others." In Portland, they noticed a sign on the church. Above the mahogany double doors hung a sign in red letters: "No trespassing. Church business only." In San Diego, the last stop on our journey, where it was a terrible fire in that city, they had slept on the beach and decided to attend church. When they entered the church, people were standing around talking about the fire. The simple service was in honor of the church's first pastor, who was retiring that day. The new pastor invited everyone to a potluck in honor of his predecessor. When they went down to the church fellowship hall, a little white-haired lady came over to them and said, "I'm so glad you two decided to stay at the potluck." She said, "I am Clara. We've got lots of good food here, so come and grab a seat. What are your names?" She marched us to a table where she proudly proclaimed, "Folks, these are my new friends, Sam and Mike. George, move over and make room for these big boys. I want you to make them feel right at home." How would we measure up here at St. Peter's? I'd like to think that we would be spirit-led to be open and welcoming. But each of us should examine our hearts to think how we would respond in a similar situation. In God's eyes, no one is inherently inferior. All were created in His image. All have equally fallen from the image into sin and guilt. All who are redeemed are justified by the same holy blood and are equally forgiven. Even those whom we find disgusting may be the saints of God. We also have great flaws and great sins. Each one of us, each person carries his own particular burdens. Let us try to overlook whatever else is different in each other person. So do not be hasty to show favoritism. Try to think of yourself as a servant to all and superior to none. The second part of the epistle for today, verse 17 and 18, says, "Thus also faith by itself, if it doesn't have works, is dead. But someone will say, 'You have faith and I have works. Show me your works and I will show you my faith by my works.'" I would like to share the following true story with you. In Australia in 1960, Tom Winton was a motorcycle cop. He was knocked off his motorcycle by a drunk driver. He was in a coma for 5 weeks. He lived with his mother and 7-year-old brother. When he was sent home from the hospital, he was, of course, confined to the bed. He was a big man, and his mother even had trouble giving him a bath. One day, the mother got a knock on the door. A man said, "My name is Ken. I heard your son is a bit ill. Anything I can do?" He carried the son from the bed, put him in the tub, bathed him, and carried him back to bed. He showed up every day and repeated the process until Tim recovered. The whole family, because of Ken's works of kindness, came to faith. So spur yourself onward toward good deeds. Try as hard as you can, even though you're not saved by your works. Remember, as you do so, that is actually God who produces such works in you. Thus, you should never take pride in them, as if you had accomplished anything. Only God should get the glory. For He is the one who has made works possible in you by creating faith in the first place. Only the soul with faith can produce anything good before God. So He has made you rich in faith so that you are spiritually alive, not dead. Your rich faith overflows to good works, even when you are not aware of them. The Holy Spirit creates a desire in you to do what is pleasing to God and avoid what is displeasing. Even as you believe that He is loving and gracious towards you for the sake of His Son, yet you struggle onward in the fear of God, trying to avoid what is unrighteous in your actions. Since you are rich in faith through the Spirit's work in water and the Word, therefore you are also heirs of the kingdom that He promised to those who love Him. Only those people love Him who have first received His love in Christ Jesus. Only those upon whom the blood of Christ has been poured can in turn pour out their lives as living sacrifices to God. For God did not look with partiality upon you. You were inferior in every way, full of sin, disgusting, and unclean. Even His enemies who rebelled against Him. You were completely unworthy of His love. Yet His love desired to create worthiness in you. He covered you with the image of His Son in baptism. He filled you with the Holy Spirit. Now Christ is not ashamed to call you his brother and sister, for God creates objects worthy of his love. All glory be to our triune God, the only source of every good and perfect gift. Amen.